صلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين recite aloud salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعجل. Inshallah, the brothers and sisters are doing well. Tonight, inshallah, we'll continue with our topic. So, inshallah, as we promised you guys, we're going to do a little bit of what? Ahkam before we start. Before we start, the ruling that I mentioned last night, I just want to get a taste of where the brothers and sisters are in terms of their knowledge of Ahkam. How many of the brothers did not know the ruling that we mentioned yesterday? Anyone? You didn't know. Okay, good. Is that brothers? Okay, so then we'll take it a notch up, inshallah, hopefully. The ruling that we want to mention tonight is about the time of prayer. Okay, so if everyone knew the ruling that we mentioned yesterday, let me ask one of you guys to just mention it real quick. Any volunteers? Okay, good. Bismillah. What was the ruling we mentioned last night?
The mass.
The mass, okay, what about the mass? The mass is a word. What about the mass?
Well, it invalidates your wudu if your mass touches the water on your face, because then you have to do your feet.
Okay.
As long as your hands are dry, then you can wipe some water off of your face.
And then okay. So, what is the problem if my hand touches my face? What exactly is the problem? You mentioned it, but I want to just make it more clear. Yeah.
It invalidates the wudu because then, afterwards, you have to do your feet.
Ahsant. And when you're doing mass of your feet, you can't use water from your face. You have to use water that's already remaining on your hand.
Unless
so that's the ruling.
Hands are dry.
Unless your hands are dry, then you can get some water. So that's the ruling we mentioned last night. The ruling we want to mention tonight is this. There's an easy part to it, and then there's a bit of a more trickier part to it, okay? The easy part is this, when it comes to Maghrib and Isha prayer, the timing that we have for the prayer, when does the prayer become Qada? Maghrib and Isha. This is an easy question. Anyone want to answer that easy question? Allah Hamid, do you want to answer the easy question? Doesn't look like it.
I pass.
Yes. Anyone else? Allah?
So, I think
yes.
The top of the Zawad, inshallah. Top of the Zawad.
No, we're talking about Maghrib and Isha.
Okay. It was between the muntasaf, between the middle time between Fajr and Isha time.
Okay, accent.
So it's around like 4 hours after Isha, or 5 hours after Isha.
Okay, so the answer is your Maghrib and your Isha becomes Qada when? It becomes Qada at midnight. But not the midnight that we know of, which is 12 a.m. That's the midnight that we deal with here. You have a Shara'i midnight, right? How do you calculate the Shara'i midnight? It's the time between Maghrib and Fajr, roughly. So, the time that your Maghrib and Isha becomes Qada, you can't really say exactly when it's going to be throughout the year, because your Maghrib and your Fajr is different throughout the year, right? Sometimes Maghrib is at 6, sometimes Maghrib is at 9, sometimes Fajr is at 5, sometimes it's at 6:30, right? So, the time between Maghrib and Fajr, when you divide it by 2, that's your Shari'i midnight. At that point is when your Salat of Maghrib and Isha is going to become Qada. Okay. Now here's the point that a lot of people don't know. When I say a lot of people, I mean that includes myself before actually looking into this rule. Let's say the Shari'i midnight is 11 o'clock, for example. Thank you. Let's say the Shari'i midnight is 11 o'clock. If 11 o'clock passes, that's it. My prayer becomes Qada. I don't have to pray anymore. This is where a lot of people have a misunderstanding. If your prayer passes by the midnight, the Shari'i midnight, you still have to pray it before when? Before Fajr. One more time. If your Maghrib and Isha, for whatever reason, now sometimes it's on purpose, na'udhu billah, it's on purpose. Sometimes you forget. Right? For whatever reason, if you forget or you don't pray on purpose, when the time passes midnight, you still have to pray Maghrib and Isha before when?
Fajr.
Before Fajr. And this makes things very difficult. Sometimes, like, you know, you get home, you're very tired. It's like 12 o'clock. Like, I didn't pray Maghrib and Isha. And then you're like, oh, Alhamdulillah, it's past midnight. Sorry, you still have to pray it before Fajr. Now, the very important point is this. After midnight till Fajr, after midnight till Fajr, it depends how you're supposed to pray it in terms of your intention. Okay? So, Ayatollah Khamenei has one ruling, Ayatollah Sistani has a separate ruling. Okay. Ayatollah Khamenei, he says that if midnight passes and you didn't pray because you forgot, you pray with the intention of ma fi dhimma. Anyone heard of that term before? Ma fi dhimma? Ma fi dhimma basically means neither ada nor qada. Okay? As long as you have that in your mind and you pray with that intention, you're fine. Okay. So Ayatollah Khamenei says, midnight passes, you pray with what intention? Neither qada nor ada. Before Fajr, you have to pray with this intention. Both Maghrib and Isha, both of them. Ayatollah Sistani says, no. If you forget, you still pray with the intention of ada. Because you forgot. No, if you miss it on purpose, yes, you do qada. Right? But if you forgot to pray Maghrib and Isha, you do it with the intention of ada. It's still time for you to pray it before Fajr. Okay? Now, the details that I just mentioned, they might be a little tricky. Okay? So, if in case anyone didn't understand the ruling or the details, you can come to me after the talk, inshallah, and I'll explain them one more time. But the general idea, so we can wrap up this section, inshallah, is this, Allah. If you skip Maghrib and Isha, for whatever reason, you still have a duty to pray them before Fajr. Please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Okay, so that was the ruling that we wanted to go through for Ahkam. Tonight's talk also has four sections, inshallah. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to move a bit quicker, okay, a bit faster, based on the feedback I got from last night. Okay, so we're going to move on a bit faster, especially Brother Haydad. He was complaining very much. He said, I want all the knowledge that you have. So, okay, give you up. Bye. I'll give you all the knowledge I have. So, yesterday we talked about this idea. We said that the world that we live in, everything in it is limited. We said as human beings, on the other hand, we want what?
Unlimited.
Okay. And we said this is a contradiction. We talked about how the West solves this contradiction, and we talked about how Islam solves this contradiction. Okay. Tonight, to start our talk, inshallah, the first section is a hadith. Okay, it's a short story actually. From Imam Ali salawatullahi alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
With one of his companions by the name of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Jabir is a very famous companion of the Ahlul Bayt. How many Imams did Jabir see, does anyone know, in his lifetime?
Five.
Okay, so how many is that?
Five.
Count. Okay. So five of the Imams. By the time obviously that he got to Imam Baqir, he was very, very old. Okay. So in this particular case, it is during the time of the first Imam. The Imam says that one day I saw Jabir ibn Abdullah and he was very sad. وَنُقِلَ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ رَأَى جَابِرْ بْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَقَدْ تَنَفَّسَ السَّعْدَى. Jabir ibn Abdullah took this really deep breath. You know, like sometimes when you're tired or you regret something, you're like, see, this is a sa'da. The Imam says, this is what Jabir did. So, the Imam says, فَقَالَ يَا جَابِرْ عَلَى مَتَنَفُسِكَ. What is this breath? Why is this deep breath that I feel you being sad and regretting what's going on? Is it because of things that happen in this world? So Jabir responds, فَقَالَ جَابِرْ نَعَمْ. Jabir said, yes, it's because of the things that are in this world, I'm not able to achieve them. The pleasures of this world, I'm not able to experience them. This guy has a better car than me, this guy has a better wife than me, this guy has a better house than me, this guy's... Right? He wants to have those stuff as well. So the Imam starts explaining the highest pleasures that you will find in this world. And when he comes to each one of these pleasures, he explains how every single one of them is very limited. The pleasures that we consider to be at the very top, every single one of them, he'll bring them down for you. He'll show you how every single one of these are limited. They're pleasure. It's a pleasure. There's no doubt about that. It's pleasurable. But they're limited. And they're low. Okay. So the Imam starts. He says, Ya Jabir, maladhu dunya sab'atun. The pleasures that you will find in this world are seven. There are seven. Of course, there are other pleasures, but these are the main ones. These are the ones that we can really relate to. So he starts. He says, the first one is al-ma'akul, what you eat. It's a huge pleasure. Oh, you turn on the television, Food Network. There's a whole network to show you how to have pleasure when you're eating food. Al-ma'akul. Wal-mashroob, when you're drinking liquids. Wal-malboos, and what you wear. So that's how many up till now?
Three.
Wal-mankuh, genders, intimacy. وَالْمَرْكُوبَ, and what you ride, right? وَالْمَشْمُومَ, and what you smell. وَالْمَسْمُوعَ, and what you hear. So that's all together, how many of all?
سَبْعَةٌ.
Okay. So the Imam starts to dissect each and every one of these pleasures. He says, okay, let's start with the first one. فَأَلَذُّ الْمَأْكُولَاتِ. He says, the first one is ma'akul, what you eat, right? That's a very important pleasure in our lives. He says, okay, go to the top, the very peak of this pleasure. Tell me what's at the very top. He says, فَأَلَذُّ الْمَأْكُولَاتِ. The most pleasurable of foods is what? Al-asal. It's honey. You don't find sweeter than honey. Oh, then he says, do you know what honey is? You know where honey comes from? Right? It's basically like something like the waste of what? Of the bee. You see how he takes it from the very peak and he brings it down, shows you how limited and how low it is. فَأَلَذُّ الْمَأْكُولَاتِ الْعَسَلْ وَهُوَ بَسَقٌ مِنْ ذُبَابَةٍ. It's the liquid that leaves the body of a fly, of an insect. Okay. Move on to the next one. وَأَحْلَى الْمَشْرُوبَاتِ الْمَاءِ. And the best of things that you can drink is water. Some of you are like, no, it's not water. It's Gatorade or something like that. No, أَحْلَى الْمَشْرُوبَاتِ. If you really want to understand why water is the best thing, if you're really, really thirsty, right? Sometimes if you really think about it, the one thing that you really want and will really take care of your thirst is what? It's water. All those sugary stuff, sometimes it doesn't take care of your thirst the way water takes care of your thirst. وَأَحْلَى الْمَشْرُوبَاتِ الْمَاءِ. And then see how the Imam brings it down. وَكَفَى بِإِبَاحَتِهِ. But water you can find everywhere. It's not even that special. You see, taking it from the peak, showing you the limitedness of every single one of these pleasures. Next one. وَأَعْلَى الْمَلْبُوسَاتِ. And the best of things that you can clothe, you can wear is ad-dibaj, which is silk. Oh, we all know where silk comes from. It's the spit. The saliva of what? Of the silkworm. وأعلى الملبوسات الديباج وهو من لعاب دودة. And it's from the spit of a worm. See how he brings it down? Then you don't consider it to be too cool anymore. And it's like silk. It's like, you don't even consider it to be that special anymore. وأعلى المنكوحات النساء. And he goes on explaining that. I'm going to skip that for obvious reasons. وأعلى المركوبات الخيل. And the best of the things that you can ride, الخيل, which refers to horses. وهو قواتل. And the horses are killers. What does that mean? That means in certain situations, if you're not able to manage your horse, it can easily step on you and kill you. The one thing that you take pride in, I'm right, this is what I write, it can kill you. Well, can we relate to this with our own cars today? Of course we can relate to these with our own cars today. Right? Yes, Allah? Yes? Moving on to the next one. وَأَجَلُّ الْمَشْمُومَاتِ. And the best thing that you can smell. Can anyone guess what this one is? The best thing that you guys can smell.
Itr.
Yes, Allah. You're pointing like this. No, Allah? Yes, Abu Zar. Flowers, you got close. But the strongest perfumes, okay, at least during that time, came from something called al-misk. Now everyone knows the answer, mashallah. Yeah, al-misk. And al-misk is what? It's this small thing, from what I remember, near the liver of a deer, if I'm not mistaken. The ankle? I'm sorry, the ankle. Cool. When you think about it, it's all bloody and it's ugly. If you Google it, you'll see. Cool. But it's the best thing you can smell, which is pleasurable, but at the same time it has this limitedness. It's limited. It has these flaws. Cool. وَأَجَلُّ الْمَشْمُومَاتِ الْمِسْكِ وَهُوَ دَمٌ مِنْ سُرَّةِ دَابَّةٍ وَأَجَلُّ الْمَسْمُوعَاتِ. And the best thing that you can hear, Allah, is الْغِنَاء. What is الْغِنَاء? It's the type of music that makes you forget about everything. Right? It takes you into that world of fantasies, mashallah. Sometimes you listen to music, everything looks nice and happy and dandy. Right? Oh, what's the problem with that? وَهُوَ إِثْمٌ. And this is a sin, and you'll be punished for it. Then the Imam wraps it up. He says, فَمَا هَذِهِ صِفَتُهُ. Something that is like what I described. The pleasures that are like what I described. لَمْ يَتَنَفَّسْ عَلَيْهِ عَاقِلٌ. If you have a little bit of intellect, a little bit of understanding in your mind, you will never feel regretful for not achieving these pleasures. Because every one of these pleasures have so many flaws in and of themselves. You will never sit there and say, I wish I had smelled misk. I wish I had, you know, drank water. Oh. Then Jabir continues. He says, قَالَ جَابِرُ بْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ فَوَاللَّهِ. After I heard this from the Imam, by Allah, مَا خَتَرَتِ الدُّنْيَا بَعْدَهَا عَلَى قَلْبِي. From that point on, this idea of me losing the pleasures of this world, it never even crossed my mind. Because I understood everything in this world is what, Allah? Okay. So this was the first part of our talk tonight. Please recite the salawat. So the first part was this hadith that we want to go through, in which the Imam explains every single one of these pleasures that we consider to be so high. He says, okay, take a look at them and you'll understand how limited they are. Okay. Second part, Allah. Second part is this. Based on what we said yesterday, we said that us as human beings, we want everything unlimited. We said that in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us what? Unlimited pleasure. Unlimited wealth, unlimited power, unlimited this, unlimited that. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for what? He created us for that unlimited pleasure. Okay. This is the purpose of our creation. Please pay attention. Please don't walk away with the wrong understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for what? Unlimited pleasure. When you say this, right? If there's a brother, like Brother Haida, he holds his hand. Mawlana, you made a mistake. What mistake did I make? Right? Mawlana, since we were in Sunday school, they taught us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا We were not created for unlimited pleasure. We were created for what? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we're told. Right? That's what we're told from since, you know, we're children. This is what we're told. You were created for what? To worship who? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you talking about, Mawlana? You were created for unlimited pleasure and stuff like that. I remember one time I was talking about this topic, and then I mentioned this. I said, yeah, we're created for unlimited pleasure. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for us, right? And then this couple came to me after the program, and then it was this couple, brother and sister, Iranian brother and sister. He said, Mawlana, your talk was very nice, but what you said, it was very Jesus-y. I said, what do you mean? Very Jesus-y. He says, very Jesus-y. You made it sound like so nice and happy and dandy, you know, like, yeah, we were created for all this pleasure and everything. He said, listen, don't worry. We'll get to the hard part. This is the easy part. We'll get to the hard part. How are you supposed to achieve that unlimited pleasure? We'll talk about that. That's where all the difficulty lies. Please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So, what are we supposed to do with this verse of the Qur'an? It doesn't become any clearer than this, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot make it any clearer than this. He says, listen, I did not create you and the jinn for anything except for liya'budun. Hope the answer is very clear. Does anyone know the answer? Let me see if you guys can pick up the answer. What's the answer? How is this verse compatible with what we were talking about? It's alright, you guys can guess if you want. No one? Okay. خب آقا وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون خب ليعبدون is the prerequisite for you to reach the what? Unlimited pleasure. These are not going against each other. They're compatible with one another. Right? For example, if you want to go to the you want to go to a hotel and you want to sleep. Right? Where do you go first? You go to the elevator. Someone asks you, where are you going? You say, I'm going to the elevator. You're lying. You're going upstairs to sleep. Oh, Baba John, if I want to go upstairs to sleep, I have to go where? I have to go to the elevator first. This isn't wrong. No one can say, hey, you're going to the elevator. You're going upstairs. It's contradiction. Tanabo, it doesn't make sense. Have you guys ever Googled Quranic contradictions online? You seen some of the contradictions? So some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen. Huh? These two are compatible with one another. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only created you for what? To worship Him. But because worshipping Him will bring you what? That unlimited pleasure. Not in this world. Not in this world. Where? In the next world. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ Here is just a game. Here is lahwan, la'ib. In the next world, that is where we will reach that unlimited pleasure. Please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Okay, so up until now, we went through two main points. We went through the tradition, right? And we explained the purpose behind our creation. These two points. The third point that I want to make, which is the question that we asked last night. Khob Allah, Mawlana, we accepted what you said. Huh? We were created for unlimited pleasure. Okay. Hope. Why did He bring us here? Why didn't He just give us unlimited pleasure to begin with? Okay. You mentioned an answer to that last night. What was that answer?
To earn.
To earn it. But why do we have to earn it?
Because prove it to you.
Can he just give it to us?
Nothing just comes like that.
Prove it to you? He needs to prove things to us?
We need to prove it to him that we are deserving.
We need to prove it to him, but he already knows. Right?
No.
He doesn't know? Oh, mashallah, so, I mean, Allah doesn't know.
No, I mean, it's predestined. You can still make the choices. He gave you that free will.
I know. That's exactly our question. Why? Why does he give you that freedom?
To see what choices you make.
To see what choices you make. You're just going around in circles right now. Hope Allah, I'm just going to cut to the chase. We were created for unlimited pleasure. The question is, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just give us that pleasure? The answer is this. He's already done that with other people. What do I mean by that? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has, let's say, 1,000,000 creatures He has created. Huh? 1,000,000 creatures. There are the animals, the human beings, there are the jinn, there are the angels, and some other stuff that we might not even know. With the angels, that's what He did. With the angels, what did He do? He gave them whatever they wanted. He's already done that with a group of people. Now for you, He wants to give you a different deal. He wants to do it a different way. The same way, for example, if you're painting a portrait, some parts you do black, right? Sometimes you do red, sometimes you do green, and then when you look at it, or put it all together, you're like, mashallah, what a nice picture, right? You don't do the whole thing black, 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 black. Mashallah, what kind of drawing is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes He says, for some of my creatures, I will just give it to them. For other ones, I want the pleasure to be different. That's why I tell them to earn it. Okay? So the answer is this. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us to earn it? Because He has already given it to other creatures. For us, He wants to paint a different picture. Of course, the pleasure that we feel once we earn it is much higher than the pleasure of, let's say, an angel. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants different colors in His portrait, for some He will give it to them, for others He won't give it to them. He says, you have to earn it. Does that make sense? Hopefully that makes sense, inshallah. If you guys understand that, please recite the law of salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Okay. So, this was the third section. I'm moving, inshallah, in a sequence. Now that we understand these, there are two very important results that we can draw from what we talked about. Okay? Two very important results. The first result is this. Because you know that everything in this world is limited, you're not anxious all the time to gather all these pleasures in the world. You're not anxious about it. You know, even if I go there and I try that pleasure, I'm still not going to feel satisfied. Right? Whereas in the Western culture, right? In the Western